Hello, I'm Marzia Hashemi. Welcome to Press TV's News Analysis. But waves of anti-Islamic sentiment can be seen in the West. In the U.S., mosque attacks are becoming more frequent, with a scheduled burning of the Muslims' holy book, the Quran, to take place on 9/11. And hijab sentiments, anti-hijab sentiments and laws throughout Europe being implemented. In Germany, for example, the Danish cartoonist who sketches outraged Muslims as being blasphemous is being honored by German Chancellor Angela Merkel. What is exactly going on?
International condemnations continue to pour in over a U.S. church's plan to burn copies of Islam's holy book on the eve of the 9th anniversary of 9/11 attacks. The move, which has angered Muslims around the globe, is becoming troublesome, more than elsewhere, for the U.S. authorities who warn it could inflame anti-American sentiments.
I am heartened by the clear, unequivocal condemnation of this disrespectful, disgraceful act that has come from American religious leaders of all faiths.
The Florida-based church insists it will go ahead with its plans despite growing criticisms. The church pastor, Terry Jones, says the U.S. Constitution gives him the right to publicly set fire to the Holy Book. This is not the first time Jones is embanking on his anti-Islam philosophy. Last year, he distributed T-shirts bearing anti-Islamic slogans. The pastor's latest provocation has also been condemned by an interfaith group of evangelical, Roman Catholic, Jewish, and Muslim leaders that met in Washington to respond to a spike in anti-Muslim bigotry.
To attack any religion in the United States is to do violence to the religious freedom of all Americans.
It is not a democratic value and it is not a religious value.
They have mobilized to plan inclusive events to counter what Jones is doing. Meanwhile, the top U.S. and NATO commander in Afghanistan has warned that such an act could inflame anti-U.S. sentiments. The U.S. image is already tarnished due to the death of Afghan civilians.
Well, we're very concerned about the implications of a possible Quran burning in the United States. It puts our soldiers at jeopardy, very likely.
Earlier, the State Department issued a statement calling the act as un-American. So far, the U.S. authorities have done nothing to stop the pastor, whose remarks and planned Quran burning can enrage Muslims not only in the U.S., but across the world. Experts say Islamophobia has been on the rise in the U.S. for the past several years.
As far as the First Amendment and the freedom to do these things, well, obviously we are free to do these things. We have been bashing Islam for 9 years, ever since 9/11. And whether it's responsible or not, whether it's legal or not, is not the question. The question is whether it is fair or not.
Muslims consider the Quran to be the word of God and insist it be treated with utmost respect. Jones's burning scheme has drawn rebukes from Muslim nations. Massive demonstrations have been held in Pakistan, Afghanistan, India, Indonesia, and many other Islamic countries. They all accuse the church of stirring up hate and discrimination.
Well, I'd like to welcome my guest to the program, Imam of Washington, D.C. Islamic Center, Mr. Muhammad Al-Asi from Washington. Thanks so much for being with us. And from the Islamic Center of England, Sayyid Muhammad Razavi from London, and co-founder of the Crescent and Cross Solidarity Movement, Mark Glenn from Idaho. Thank all of you for being with us. Turning first to Washington, Imam Asi. Now, what is behind this increase in anti-Islamic sentiments in your perspective?
Well, the way I read it is that there has been a systematic and a consistent and an ongoing effort, especially since 9/11, to demonize Islam itself and to dehumanize the Muslims. It doesn't strike me as odd, this new development, as outrageous as it is, because it is not happening in a vacuum. This is not like one pastor who one day woke up and said, let's burn the Quran. This has come in with a backdrop of a continuous barrage of anti-Islamic propaganda and misinformation that is bound to end with a person like this coming out and saying the time right now has come for us to demonstrate how we feel towards Muslims, and therefore we have decided to burn the Quran on the 11th of September. Muslims in the United States, they have been living almost in a class of isolation and alienation in the past 9 years or so. Discrimination is at an all-time high. The official treatment of Muslims as they enter the United States in airports and ports of entry, the suspicion that surrounds Muslims when they want to go to public activities and public gatherings, all of this is bound to bring us the likes of this pastor in Florida. And my fear is that this is just the tip of the iceberg, and if this goes ahead, only God knows what will follow in the coming months and in the coming years, and how hypocritical it is. I've been listening to some officials in the United States, such as General Petraeus and the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, how they feel very offended that there's a pastor in Florida who, with his congregation, wants to burn the holy book, whereby we have U.S. forces that are burning lives and populations across the world. So when you combine the overall developments pertaining to the U.S. government, whether it is the officials of the United States, and now we're beginning to see a clergyman who are coming out with this type of thing. It is
okay.
Said, I don't know.
Imam Asi, let me turn to London and get Said Rezavi in on this. Said Rezavi, do you think that these attacks are related to a bigger political agenda? For example, discrediting or basically wanting to demonize Muslims? And if so, who would benefit from such a scenario when the U.S. prides itself on religious harmony?
Yeah, I believe that 9/11 was not in benefit of Muslims, and I certainly believe that it was not Muslims who did it. And in the similar way, this is not going to benefit Christianity, and the Terry Jones Act is un-Christian, and it will lead into further problems for the Christians and the peace in the world. So, and definitely this act was designed to defame Muslims, and as Imam Al-Asi was saying, that this is just a tip of an iceberg, and it is a hypocritical action that the West is trying to do. I mean, they if they really don't agree with this, then they should put a stop of Muslims being tortured and abused and throughout the world.
So do you think it's just a continuation of the same, as Imam Asi had said, Said Rezavi? Is it part of the whole problem, as you just referred to, Muslims being tortured throughout the world? Is this part of that whole scenario?
Of course it is. I mean, this is well-planned act since the Islamic Revolution in Iran, and the increase of numbers of Muslims, especially those who are converting to Islam, and Islam is becoming a more popular religion around the world. And Rome has officially declared that Islam has taken over in its lead, and therefore they are afraid of the growth of Islam around the world. So they are trying to do maximum damage to prevent the growth of Islam around the world.
Okay,
but,
I'm going to take a look later on.
Islam is
I'm going to take a look later on in this program about the growth of Islam, but let me turn to Mark Glenn and get him in on this discussion. Now, let's look at the situation that is getting a lot of headlines right now, and that's the Islamic Center being built near Ground Zero area in New York. Why do you think that this has become such a major issue when there were other mosques in that same neighborhood, and they've been there for years?
My theory is that this all of this anti-Islamic hysteria is about justifying the past, meaning nine years of wars and several million innocent civilians who have been killed, Muslim civilians, and it's about preparing for the future, because we know that the people responsible for bringing these wars against the Muslim world, they don't just have their sights set on Iraq and Afghanistan. They also want to do away with Iran and Syria and Lebanon and Pakistan, and they will go on and on until the Muslim and the Christian worlds have basically wiped each other out through a series of eternally bankrupting wars. So when you look at the people who are responsible for throwing all of this gasoline on this fire with regards to the anti-Islamic hysteria that is going through the country now like an epidemic, these are people who are very closely allied with Israel and with the Israeli lobby. Israel is the only one who benefited from 9/11. Israel is the only one who benefits from the anti-Islamic hysteria. And Israel will be the only one who benefits from a war against Iran and these other Middle Eastern countries. So this is all about preparing the American mind, because the American people, they're tired of war. It's been 9 years of war. We're no closer to ending this than we were on the day we started. They're going bankrupt. They are losing the blood of their children, and they're starting to ask questions. Why are we doing this? How much longer is it going to last? So they have to psychologically condition the American people ahead of time. And this is the thing that frightens me the most, is what are we going to see blow up in the days and weeks ahead that is going to be blamed on Islamic extremists, as Israel tried to do in 1967 when she attacked a United States ship and murdered 34 American sailors with the intention of blaming it on Egypt. This is the thing that should worry us right now, is that Israel is desperate. She has to get this war against Iran started. And this, all of this anti-Islamic hysteria that we see taking place right now is, in my opinion, an operation in psychological warfare against the American people, meant to prepare them to expend even more of their tax money and the precious blood of their children.
Okay, now Imam Asi, every day we're coming across here, at least our news desk, we're reading more and more stories involving anti-Islamic acts or anti-Islamic sentiments. And just today right here at Press TV, we had at least three stories like this crossing our desk. I want to look at them. First, the Florida church, which is scheduled to burn the Holy Quran on 9/11. Besides fanning hatred, what would the goal of something like this be?
Well, let me comment on that by saying that if we take a closer look at this church and its pastor, we are told that it's a very minuscule congregation of 50 individuals. Now, if 50 individuals wanted to do an outrageous act like that, the media could have very well dismissed them and looked the other way. They could have had their burning ceremony, and the world would not have known about it. The factor that has to be observed here is that this caught the attention of the worldwide media. The mainstream media just picked up on this, I think, to flare the flames of animosity, bad feelings, hatred, and misunderstanding, especially among the Muslims and the Christians. And I would second the thoughts of Mr. Glenn that the only ones to benefit from this, to get the maximum mileage out of this, are those who stand for the Israeli interest. It seems like, and it's becoming more clear as the days and the years go by, it seems like they are enjoying the growing tension that is becoming very obvious in the West between immigrant Muslim communities and their host societies, which are predominantly Christian societies in Europe and in the United States. It would appear to me that at a time like this, instead of a camera op, a media opportunity for representatives of the different denominations of Christianity and Islam to stand in front of the cameras and make some very acceptable sounds and voices that every human being can agree with as far as tolerance and getting along and understanding each other, wouldn't it have been more to the point for these same individuals who were in front of the cameras yesterday and in front of the mainstream media to have gone to this person in Florida and had a very down-to-earth, mind-to-mind and heart-to-heart meeting with this person, telling him, what are you doing? In the name of what type of religion can you justify doing what you are doing? If there were people of good faith from the different, especially Christian denominations, because it seems like this person is not going to have his mind open to any Muslim who's going to speak to him. So if these Christians of, who are saying very beautiful things in front of the camera, if they were just to make a trip down there to Gainesville, Florida, and sit down with this pastor in his church or in his home or wherever place he wants to sit down and try to knock some sense into him. This, to me, would have meant that there is some goodwill around still that will get to the root of this problem and try to nip it in the bud rather than feed the media frenzy and say that, you know, we object to this. And the objection is just a show for primetime TV.
Now, Imam Asa, you just talked about, excuse me, nipping it in the bud. As you had mentioned earlier, American officials have actually come out to condemn it. Did you expect them to do more to actually stop these type of actions, or is it just talk and no action?
Well, obviously, it is just talk. You know, politicians, their second nature and their first nature is to come and to say to everyone what everyone wants to hear. And this is what they did in these past days. What is a new development here is the in-your-face assault on the Muslims by doing this. I mean, it's only common sense. If this person thinks that there is a fringe of Muslims who are misinterpreting Islam, why doesn't he take the books of these fringe Muslims and burn them and say, we have a problem with this understanding of Islam? But to come out in front of the whole world with a pistol on his knee and with straight talk to the public, saying that we're going to burn this book because, in his own words, with the signs in front of his own church that said, Islam is of the devil. These are his own words. The meanings are very clear. They tolerate no second interpretation. Islam is of the devil. This is a bloody statement, as it were. It can only generate reactions that are going to be bloody. Things cannot be tolerated at this level. And I think the United States government is being extremely hypocritical and extremely oxymoronic in its attitude when it comes and tells us, especially we the Muslims who are living in the United States, who are right now feeling that we are discriminated against much more than other people, that we are being treated as second and third class citizens. We are suspect, we are guilty until proven innocent. There are laws that have gone into procedure right now. There's a congressman, Mr. Lieberman, at this time, in the previous weeks, has been thinking about denying American citizenship to American Muslims. This is an act that contradicts the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, international law, civilized standards, and everything.
Okay, Imam Asi, I'm sorry, I would love to have you continue. Let me just get Sayed Rezavi back in on this now. Sayed Rezavi, another story which crossed our desk Wednesday is a report that German Chancellor Angela Merkel is awarding a prize to the Danish cartoonist who sketched blasphemous cartoons about Islam's prophet, Muhammad. Now, those sketches were first released back in 2005, causing outrage. Why would Merkel do this at all, and why now? She said that her act is a symbol of the importance of freedom of the press in the West. How do you see it?
Well, this obviously shows that they are practicing double standard, and they are all together, especially as Imam Asi was mentioning. The media is trying to flare this up, and their aim is to, again, defame Islam and defame Muslims at this time, especially when this is going on around the world. They should have been more diplomatic, and they should have thought and considered this as invasion of privacy, or they should not have allowed this kind of atrocity against Muslims, but they are trying to award the cartoonist. It's obviously it shows that double standard, and it's very clear.
Okay, now, Mr. Glenn, as we approach the ninth anniversary of 9/11, how much do you think that the event played a role towards the anti-Islamic sentiments? And on 9/11/2001, over 60 Muslims were also killed in the Twin Towers, and many other Muslims were killed as they were the first rescuers on the scene that day. Why isn't that side of the story ever covered?
Well, because the objective here is to pit the Christian and the Muslim worlds against each other. This has been Israel's goal for many years. She sees herself as a world power, and she wants to see the two largest civilizations, the Christian world and the Islamic world, basically destroyed, leaving her as the sole superpower in the world. So in that sense, 9/11 worked out perfectly. Now, I guess what they did not plan on, what Israel did not plan on, is that we would be dragging our feet. The United States would be dragging her feet in terms of the war. I think that the plan was is that we should have already been in Iran. We should already have been in Syria. And Israel is getting desperate because we have people such as the president right now and certain members of his cabinet and the military who are saying, no, we cannot widen this war at this point. We cannot sustain going to war against Iran right now, or we will be finished as a country. And Israel is desperate to get this war going, so this is the reason for all of this hysteria that we see taking place. I'd like to just reflect on something that Imam Al-Asi had said before about this Pastor Terry Jones. I had the opportunity of interviewing Pastor Jones about 4 weeks ago, and in this interview on my program, I read to him portions of the Quran that spoke very reverently about Jesus and about his Holy Mother and about Christians in general. And I asked him, I said, why would you want to burn a book that speaks so favorably of Jesus and Mary and Christians? And when I pressed him, he admitted on the program, he said, Islam is not the problem. We are in no danger of having Sharia law take over in the country. He admitted all of these things. And then I pressed him further and I said, you know, Pastor Jones, You lament the moral decline in this Christian country, and you want to see a return to Christian principles, but it's not the Muslims who are running our media. It's not the Muslims who are shoving pornography and all of these anti-family agendas down the throats of American people. Why don't you go after the people who are doing this, the people in New York and in Hollywood and places like that? And he admitted on the program that Muslims were not responsible for all of these things. So by his own words, he has admitted that he is a liar and he is a fraud. He is just out to sell books and to get his name in the newspapers, and that's it. Now, unfortunately, however, is that you've got powerful forces who have taken advantage of this, and they are the ones now who are pushing him out into the forefront and getting him to do this. Now, as I said before, my greatest fear is that this event, this Quran burning event, is going to be used in preparing the public mind, the American mind, into widening a war against Muslims around the world. If the American people would just sit down for 5 minutes, as I did after 9/11, and read the Quran for themselves and see what it says in it, they would realize that they have been victims of one of the biggest hoaxes in history. There is no reason for the Christians and the Muslims to be at war with each other. We are cousins. We are brothers. We are sisters. We are family. We see things the same way. We need to concentrate on who our real enemies are, who want to see both of us destroyed, and that is the Zionists.
Okay, and Imam Al-Asi, I have 1 minute. Final comments from you.
Well, I think that I will extend Mark's answer to your question and say that there are Muslims and Christians that are living in harmony around the world, especially in the Holy Land. I can just remind your viewers that in Syria there is a church and a mosque, in which Christians go and worship there on Sundays, and the Muslims have their Friday services in the same place. There are people of goodwill who are belong to the Muslim and Christian faiths, but unfortunately the mainstream media excludes them from appearing and expressing themselves on this issue, especially Palestinian Christians who have been excluded from the discourse of these events. And may I add also that in the middle of all of this, we never watch the media go to, let's say, an Orthodox or a conservative Jewish rabbi and ask them, could you please give us your opinion on what is becoming, or it looks like it's becoming, a very serious polarization between Muslims and Christians. Could we just listen to your thoughts on this issue? It boggles the mind just to think how the media is absent when it should be involved in bringing to the public attention what religious figures have to say who belong to the Jewish faith, who we can say maybe can be impartial on this because they're neither Muslims nor are they Christians. So let's see an impartial party come in and give us their view on what may be a solution to this.
Okay, Imam Asi, I am so sorry, but we are out of time, but I thank you. Imam Muhammad Al-Asi from Washington, Said Mohammed Rezavi from London, and Mark Glenn from Idaho. And as always, viewers, we thank you for being with us with another close-up look at today's top stories. Join us here same time, same place tomorrow. I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing out from Tehran. Goodbye.